Medical information obtained from our website or the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If your pet has or you suspect they might have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a health care provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of All Paws Pet Talk, this radio show, or their sponsors.
And now live in this studio, it's the All Paws Pet Talk call-in radio show with a valuable knowledge and expertise of our panel guests ready to take your calls. Listen for the phone number so you may call in live. Take it away, panel.
Oh, hello and welcome to All Paws Pet Talk. Well, you're here with me, your host, Cheryl Mathis, the dog expert of leashesandlovers.com, the dog lovers community. So come join the club and make friends or a date. And I'm author of Leashes and Lovers. If you've struggled with relationships, Leashes and Lovers, the book can help. And it's on sale on Amazon through Valentine's. Well, if you need pet information, news, and fun, it's here on All Paws Pet Talk in the next half hour. Love is in the air. And if you're wondering what to get the other love of your life, your dog, or maybe your dog is the love of your life, we have just the thing. And I'll be talking with a business owner on FetchAbiz.com who specializes in dog collars with bling, and I mean bling. And later in the news, a bomb-sniffing dog whose marine handler was killed in Afghanistan. His family got to adopt the dog recently, and boy, there wasn't a dry eye in the place when the military handed the dog over. And it wasn't an easy process, as you can imagine, releasing the dog of its duty to be with this family in Texas. And I'll have that story after the break. But first, the Westminster Kennel Club 135th Dog Show is coming up really soon, and it's usually on Valentine's Day. Isn't that interesting? And if you've wondered what it takes to have your dog make it to the big kahuna of dog shows with 2,500 dogs entered, what kind of lives these pampered pooches must lead, I wonder. You know, what it's like behind the scenes. Is it like the movie Best in Show? Well, I've got Barkbusters master trainer Greg Kleva with us, who is a correspondent from Martha Stewart Radio, and he is host of It's a Dog's Life on Martha Stewart Living Radio. Hi, Greg.
Hey, Cheryl.
Good to be talking with you here, and you got to be getting so excited that Westminster is just around the corner.
Yeah, it's exciting. You know, we had the big NFL's big Super Bowl last night, of course, and this is the Super Bowl of dog shows next week at Madison Square Garden right here in New York City. So, yeah, we're excited for it.
Yeah, you know, I've been to Westminster a few times. My husband even gave me the gift of going for a Valentine's gift a couple of times. And, you know, the thing that really shocked me most was how easy it was to go behind the scenes and really get up close and actually meet the dogs and meet the owners and the handlers and seeing them get primed for the show. So tell us what that must be like.
It's set up like that intentionally. It's called what's referred to as a benched show, and the Westminster Kennel Club Dog Show is one of the few benched dog shows remaining in the country. And what that means is, just like you explained it, the dogs are actually out on display. You can walk around and you can meet the dogs, meet the different breeds, talk to the handlers, talk to the owners, talk to the breeders, watch the dogs getting, as you say, primed and pampered, watch them getting groomed. And Westminster Kennel Club does that intentionally to allow the public to interact with these dogs and with their owners as an educational experience or as an educational process.
Yeah, I was really amazed. I thought it would be completely hands-off. You went to your seat, sat down, but more of the show is behind the scenes, I even think, than what's happening in the ring. But now, getting to Westminster, too, is like hitting the jackpot, right?
Yeah, I mean, to some extent it is. I mean, there's it's not as much luck as hitting the jackpot. There's a lot of preparation and skill and participation that goes into making it to Westminster. Westminster is the only champions-only dog show in the country. And what that means is that these owners and their dogs have had to travel all over the country all year long to participate in other American Kennel Club-sanctioned dog shows and win and amass a number of points at each show. And by amassing a certain number of points, these dogs are now considered champions, and they're eligible for entry into Westminster. So every dog that participates at this particular dog show is already a champion. So this is the biggie, like you said, the big kahuna.
Yeah. And like you said, too, these people are doing this almost every weekend out of the year, too. So this is the big one, but they're spending almost every weekend of their lives attending some kind of show?
Probably spending a majority of their time attending the shows. There's definitely a lot of commitment that goes into showing these dogs and you know, it's pretty competitive for these people for sure.
It must cost a lot of money too, I imagine, just in travel.
It's a lot of work. It is a very big expense. But again, by becoming a champion and by being able to enter into Westminster, participate in Westminster, you know, it's all about perpetuating the quality of the breed. That's what dog showing is all about, and that's what these people are doing. They're responsible, you know, quality breeders that are trying to produce the best of the best of the breed. And again, they're judged on that. And you know, if they are successful at doing that, then they can become compensated, you know, through their breeding practices. So hopefully that expense comes back to them. But it is a lifestyle. There's no question about it. And it is a lot of commitment for these people, for sure, financially and of their time.
Mm-hmm. I was reading that about 62% of American households have a pet. That's about 71 million homes. But most of our dogs are probably not show dog material. These dogs are groomed. You mentioned, you know, all the care that they need to provide for them. But what else goes into, would you say, making a show dog? Like, how, for most of us dog lovers, we look at our dogs and find them to be so beautiful, or we even watch the dog show and think, okay, these breeds, yeah, they look immaculate. They look all somewhat the same. So what's the discerning eye that the judges have that kind of notices those little differences?
That's probably the most confusing thing about dog shows. How the heck do you judge a Chihuahua against a Great Dane? Why is that Chihuahua better than a Great Dane? But that all gets down to the judging and the standards and why one dog might look different than another. May not to us. It certainly doesn't to me when I'm there and I've got a little bit of experience with this. But these judges know what they're looking for. Each breed's parent club. So, you know, if you've got a Labrador Retriever, there's a Labrador Retriever club. And they create a standard. It's a written description of the ideal specimen of that breed. So it generally relates to form and function, or the original function that dog was bred to perform. And it basically describes a general, how does the dog appear? What's the appearance of the dog? The dog's movement, the dog's temperament or personality. They look a lot at the physical traits. So things like the height and the weight of the dog, the type of coat, the colors in the coat. Even the colors, like in the nose, there are some disqualifiers. Like if a particular breed has a bit of pink in its nose color instead of all black, it's an immediate disqualification. Eye color, eye shape, the shape of the ears, the placement of the tail, the feet, et cetera. It goes on and on. So these standards can be very specific. And
they only have sometimes even a couple of minutes to make those discerning choices, don't they? I mean, it's pretty fast.
Exactly, and they know exactly what they're looking for. So, but that's what differentiates one dog between another, for sure.
And they have about 169 breeds that compete in this show, and they're even adding 6 new breeds this year. But there's something like 500 breeds of dogs, right? And then there's even already more than 100 of the so-called designer breeds. You know, the mixes of two purebreds. I was looking through the list, and you might have a comment on this too, Greg. While the Labrador Retriever and the Golden Retriever are some of the most popular dogs and seem to be number 1 and 2 forever on the list of popular dogs in the United States, I don't think they've ever won Best in Show.
It's true. And the reason for that probably is because they are so bred. They are such a popular, they are the popular breeds, but there may be some of them out there that don't meet that breed specific criteria, that those standards that I was referring to before. So it's a tough competition amongst those breeds, but they typically are the most popular ones and the ones that are entered into Westminster. Actually, it's kind of interesting. This year, the highest entered breed is actually the Rhodesian Ridgeback, even before the Labrador Retriever, which I thought was kind of interesting because it's not as well-known a breed as your Labrador Golden Retrievers. But yes, lots of those more popular breeds entered into the dog show for sure.
And the Terriers always seem to stand a good chance of winning Best in Show. The Fox Terriers won something like 17 times, and then other Terriers have been winners too overall. Now, you have a little bit of the inside track. Do you think sometimes the owners feel that judges are biased on a particular breed for Best in Show, that they might think, well, maybe that's kind of the breed that judge tends to like, or maybe a breed that they have?
There definitely is that room for interpretation, and every individual judge is going to have their preference. So I always use the example, you know, if you're familiar with the breed, like a French bulldog, you know, they come in kind of a a marbly looking color, and some of them are tan. So if the judge has a predisposed like for the tan French Bulldog, they may lean in that direction. So, you know, that the results in that subjective basis of the sport, you know, one judge applying his or her own interpretation of the standard I referred to, and then giving his or her own opinion of the best dog on that particular day, that definitely leaves a lot of room for interpretation and that subjectivity, no doubt.
Well, we're going to be making our picks, and I adopt greyhounds, so, and I noticed a greyhound has never won best in show, so I have my finger on that one this year, and I'm just happy rescuing my greyhounds. But hey, Greg Kleva, thank you so much for the insight. Have a great time at Westminster, being a correspondent there, and everybody be sure to catch him too on Martha Stewart Living Radio on Thursday nights on It's a Dog's Life. Well, stay with us. We'll be right back on All Paws Pet Talk.